Hi, everybody. It's good to be back. I will just wait for everyone to log on and then we will get started. I don't have a particular topic to speak about today. I feel like I've talked about everything. Go back and watch my other videos. But I did want to share with you some of the learnings that I've had while I've been sort of away with nature and also in my cave that I have been in for the last couple of weeks, as I was not well, but I was fine. But I was really, really just in a very introspective space, and I was continuing with my with just my spiritual work as well as my analysis, and there were just some aha moments that I had. I also had some people ask me questions about some of the posts that I did, and so I wanted to make sure that I clarified some of that. Guys, I only get 2,225 characters, and so I can't say everything there is to say about everything on one tile and in one blog. And I even have people tell me that I write too much and my blogs need to be shorter, but I literally take every character they give me because I just don't want to, I want to explain as much as possible. And it takes me a lot of time and effort to put one of these things together. And so, but there's still so much that I miss. And so I wanted to follow up on some of that. So I wanted to first talk to you guys about something that I have noticed a lot, and something that I think a lot of people struggle with without really knowing it. Everybody thinks that they have a very good relationship with money or with their abundance mindset, right? All of this stuff that we hear from The Secret and from manifesting, that of course I want to manifest and of course I want to attract all the good things. But no one really thinks about what their vibrational or, you know, core beliefs or their limiting beliefs are about that, about abundance. And I'm gonna bet my money on that, you know, that most people have a lot of limiting beliefs about abundance versus the scarcity mindset, okay? And so let me tell you a little bit about the scarcity versus abundance mindset. The scarcity mindset is basically that things are finite and I have limited resources and limited time, money, energy, creativity, and connection. Like, it's limited. If I give you love, then I have less love to give to the other person. We literally have been programmed to do that, where I might not be able to give attention to two things at the same time, but I can still hold love for two people in my heart at the same time. But we all are quite narrow in the way we think about connection, in the way we think about love, in the way we think about, if he loves me, then he shouldn't be able to love anybody else the same way. So I think it's something for us to think about. When you can sit there all night long and all day long trying to attract things and, you know, manifest things, but if you have these limiting beliefs about what you are deserving of or what the universe or the source or the people in your life are capable of, then you are going to not be able to have that particular thing in your life. So, I want to give a disclaimer that there are people that are living within a life that has limited resources. They are living in places or in homes or, you know, that they are living within the space of poverty and they do have limited resources like water and, you know, food and money. So I don't want I'm not talking about, oh, well, you can just sit there and fix your limitations and all of a sudden things will be fine. I don't want to discount the reality of what it is for some people. But I'm not talking about that particular scenario. I'm talking about, generally speaking, for those of us who have those beliefs inside of us, but they're not aware of their scarcity mindset. And money is one of those things, and opportunities that go along with money, and connection, you know, loving two people or being able to be friends with two people, that jealousy that comes is a result of us having that belief about scarcity, that you cannot love her the same way you love me because then you love me less. And without you knowing it, if you are a jealous person, or if you are one of those people who's envious, like, oh, she got that opportunity, and not, you know, all of a sudden you feel envious of that, then you do have a scarcity mindset. Because if we truly are friends with people in our life, or we have family members that are, you know, getting success within different areas of their life, and we cannot be happy for them, then somewhere inside of us, we believe that there is finite opportunities in the world, and she just took one and I have less. So just something for you guys to think about. Now, I'm going to do a talk about money because people have a very complicated relationship with money. It has a lot to do, money is never about money, just FYI. And there's a big shadow, huge shadow of money, okay? We all want it. We all don't want anyone to think we want it. We all care about it, but we don't want people to think that's all we care about. Like, it's so messy for people. And people can't own that, yes, I want money, and I want to earn money, and I want, it is my right to earn money. They can't actually say those things without feeling some level of shame unless they've worked through the shadow of money and integrated that into their conscious life. A lot of limiting beliefs about money, people have things like, well, you know, people who have money are corrupt. And so if you believe that about money, then inside of you, you have a belief that if I have money, then I will be corrupt. People who have money, you know, can, you know, get lost in their power. If I have money, then I might get lost in my power. Do you see how that translates over into your interpretation of you? So if you really believe this about other people, or if I ask people for this, they might not give it to me. Underneath that is, I am not worthy of this money that I'm asking. So you will never have that. You will never be comfortable with that. You will never be confident in that space of negotiations, or, you will never come to it with your full power and integrity when you have these unresolved, unintegrated parts of you that are associated with money. And most people think money is a bad word, okay? Most people will say, well, you guys only care about money, right? If a business is trying to do a business and they have boundaries about how they do that business, and they enforce that boundary onto a customer or a client, and that client doesn't like that boundary, they'll say, as a way of cursing those people, they will say, you only care about money. And why is that bad? Do these people in this business not have the right to money? Do they not have a right to take care of their families? Do they not have a right to pay their loans? Do they not have a right to pay their mortgages? Do they not have a right to take care of their elderly parents? So why is it bad to think about money? So this is where a lot of people are abusive about how they throw these things around. And that just shows to me that they have an unintegrated, a big shadow around money and what that means to them. So I'm going to do a talk about that later, but that money is also part about, money is also very much related to the scarcity mindset. And connection is very much related to the scarcity mindset. Jealousy, envy, scarcity mindset. It is not enough. Now, obviously, energy and attention are finite. I cannot give my attention to 200 things at the same time and in the same way. I have to be very deliberate and thoughtful about where I give my attention. But can I give my attention to one child while I hold a love for three and or all four inside of my heart? Yes. So attention does feel like love, and you can only give your attention to a finite amount of things. And so you do have to be very deliberate about where you spend your attention. Are you giving so much of your energy to social media and to, you know, just things that are cluttering your mind, then now you have a very limited amount to give to anything else in your life. So you, there are some things that are finite, and there are some things that are, and you know, infinite. Creativity is infinite. Love is infinite. Connections in the way about love is infinite, but who I can give my time to is finite. And so they usually say in research that you can't have more than 5 to 7 friends that are very close friends, like your tribe, because time, you do have to give people that you love time. So I'm not saying that I can have an infinite amount of people in my life and they will experience love from me in the same way. No, that cannot be. So you, there is this tension that you have to hold between time and energy and attention and love. Like, you have to hold that tension and be able to find this kind of balancing that you do with all of these different things that you have to contend with. So that's what I wanted to say about the scarcity mindset. You know, feeling like you're never enough, feeling like you don't have enough. I work with executives who I say that if you stop, they're like addicted to work, some of them, right? Like, I've been addicted to work. And if I stop, there's like this, I'm missing out on something. So this fear of missing an opportunity, not fear of missing out on a party, but fear of missing out on an opportunity. And if I'm not there to say yes to that, someone else will take that opportunity. And then it will not be mine. And it's like, but do you want that opportunity? Is it good for you? Can you give time to that? Can you give energy to that? They're not thinking about these things. And if you say yes to that, how many things are you saying no to in your life? They're not thinking about that. And so it becomes joyless ambition. And joyless ambition is where you're just chasing the next opportunity, but you actually haven't really thought about, is this good for me in my life? How much more money do I need in my life? How much more opportunities do I need in my life? Or is this enough? And am I even enjoying any of that? Or am I waiting to enjoy all of this in somewhere in a future that might never come? Because I'm just chasing opportunity after opportunity. That comes from a scarcity mindset. You see how it's so, like, it sort of spreads through every corner of our life when we have a scarcity mindset. It also plays out in this way we are very fear-driven, right? Fear of missing out on an opportunity is very fear-driven. It's not joy-driven. It's not purpose-driven. It's not values-driven. It's not reflective of your personal energy and boundaries at that time in your life. It's none of that. It's just, I want it so no one else can have it. Because if they take it, then I don't have it. Not a good way to go about life, guys. That it will, you will run out. You will run out. And in that, you are finite. So that's one thing that I've been really thinking about. So I wanted to just mention that. Moving on to the next thing is that I want to talk a little bit about healing. I'm really struggling with this too, guys. You know, like, I actually don't know, personally, I don't know anyone who has invested as much as I have in therapy and in healing and horse riding and my cryo chamber and my stretching and my body work and my breathing. And oh my God, like, I'm telling you, like, it's really like full on process of like getting myself into a centered, grounded state. And I do this with all joy, by the way. Like, and of course there are some days where I'd rather not, but I do it because I know it's me investing in myself and I will call on that investment at some point. But I want to talk about what healing feels like. And part of healing is still experiencing pain. You know, like, on some level, you know, like, really, like, down here somewhere inside of me, I am really thinking that if I heal enough and if I'm grounded enough, I will not be touched by any such thing that happens in my life. I will not be bothered and I will not be affected. I truly believe this, but I don't think that's gonna happen, guys. Like, I actually don't think, like, so let me tell you what happened recently. So something happened in my personal life, I should say, that, you know, that like bothered me, it hurt me. And I was, I don't want it to hurt me. It has nothing to do with me. Why am I taking it personally? It has, like, I'm good. My life is good. Let me count all my blessings. Like, I'm good. Like, it shouldn't bother me that this is happening and that this person is saying this about me or whatever. So the fact that it affected me bothered me. And then I had to think about that a little bit. And I thought, listen, Sal, like, of course it's going to hurt you because you are human. You live open-heartedly. You give wholeheartedly. You don't have an armor up anymore. You have disarmored yourself through all of this body work that you have done. And of course, when someone throws a dart in your direction, it's gonna hurt. Now, the second dart, what people say in, I think, Buddhism, is that the stories now I ascribe to that, that part I'm in control of. And that's where equanimity comes in. That's where acceptance comes in. And that's something I have felt recently. So I did feel like I moved up a level in my healing, that someone threw a dart in my direction and I was like, oh man, that hurt. It's like, why would someone do that? Like, why is that? No, that's not a very nice thing. Like, and then I thought, oh, maybe they're struggling and maybe they're hurting. And I try to do all of that stuff that I usually do to try to make excuses for people to make my pain less. But I was like, no, maybe they just did it because they are not a very nice person. And there are not very nice people that exist in this world. And I don't need to understand why they're not very nice. But some people are just mean. And that's it. In the world, there shall always be darkness. In the world, there will be mean people. And what happened in their childhood and what happened to them when they were growing up, that's not really my business. My business is they threw a dart in my direction and it hurt me. And now I must protect myself from that dart and maybe have a shield up when I interact with that person. So if they throw a dart in my direction, that it doesn't affect me. It's not piercing my skin. It just bounces off, right? So I think that's a very sort of, it's a mature way of thinking about the world and about life. That no, not all people are good people and they're just split off, right, from their good nature. I mean, I believe that they're split off from their good nature, and I do believe people are good and then they're corrupted by things that have happened to them. But the final, in the final analysis, their behavior is hurtful. And I will protect myself from hurtful people. I use the analogy of Star Wars. They've gone to the dark side, at least from me, right? And they are hurting me. Now my job is to not drop to their level and hurt them back. My job is to just protect myself from such people. So that was one thing that I learned about healing, is that it will always hurt when people are hurtful. It just will not be this spiral we move into, like the spiral of, you know, why did they do that? Is, you know, do they hate me? Why do people hate me so much? Why does everybody hate me? Everyone in my life is against me. These types of things, when we say, that's the second arrow, and that's when we move into a very dark place inside of us. If I have a dart hit me and I say, ouch, like that wasn't very nice, and if it was from someone that I love, I might say, like, come on, man, why are you throwing darts? Like, what's that about? Can you tell me? Because that was really hurtful. And then we will communicate that through, we will process that through, and we will remove that from in between us. But if it was someone who just is a, you know, someone who is on the outside, all kinds of drama happens on social media, we know this, but also in our social world, there are people who judge you, there are people who are critical of you, there are people who have all sorts of opinions about how you should be and what you should be, and, you know, their personal analysis of you, which has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with where they are and how they see the world, that hurts still. Guard yourself. Shield up as you interact with them. I'm not saying I'll never talk to these people again, or I'll never disengage with these people, because some people I cannot do that with. There are people I have blocked on Instagram, for sure, and I will continue to do so if there is no respect. This is, you know, our community here, but I am in charge of this community that I have built on this account. And if people are disrespectful, they don't need to be here. Like, that's me asserting, no thanks, I don't want that energy here. So, but I can't necessarily block people in my life. There are people that you work with, there are people that you have in your family, there are people that you're related to, that you need to just shield up. And that's it. Bringing Star Wars back in, you know, Anakin became Darth Vader. He was like BFFs with Obi-Wan Kenobi. They grew up like brothers. He trained him. They were like blood, technically, not really, but not technically, but, you know, but, and then, you know, like, so it is some, it is, I mean, I, what the metaphor here is within the Star Wars movie is that it is often our family that is the most hurtful. That becomes our darkness in our life. But you still have to engage with them. And even till the very end, there is a struggle of, I don't want to hurt this person because they are someone I have loved, you know? And so I don't think you should take out your lightsaber and start attacking your family members. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say it is often our family members that are most hurtful in our life. And I will never condone us completely splitting off from that. But I do think that you can shield up when you go in front of them, and you can limit your interaction. And just because they're your family doesn't mean they're part of your personal tribe. Doesn't mean that there are people that you will share your good news with, because they might not wish you well. But there are people that you will share good news with that are your friends and your colleagues and other people in your life. And the people in your life might be the last person that hear about it, because that's just, you know that they're not going to wish you well. So that's how you want to think about healing, that it will always hurt. It's just that it doesn't have to hurt for that long, and you will limit the stories around it. So some questions to think about. So what part of the story, so for example, if someone threw this dart in my direction, what part of the story did you focus on? Oh, he threw the dart. Why did he throw the dart? What meaning did you give to the event? What was the frame? Oh, he hates me. That's why he did it. And he wants to destroy me. He can't see my success. All of this is your interpretation. He never actually said that to you, or she never actually said that to you. Okay? So this is where, when you have healed and integrated a lot of that wound, metabolized, processed, integrated, become aware, released, all of that, then you don't do this stuff. Then there is equanimity. After you take the dart out, you put some balm on, you feel sad a little bit that someone threw a dart in your direction and the world is not as kind as you would like it to be, then you pick yourself up and you get on with it. That's what happens when you heal. So I hope that makes it a little bit clearer, because that's what I've been struggling with. I just was hoping that it'll never hurt again and that I will just be above it all. Mm-mm. As long as you're grounded, you ain't above it all, okay? And that's what we need to do. We need to stay in it. That's the hero's path. You've got to be in it, in the thick of it. And if you look at our prophets and our gurus and all of these other people that have, you know, come up with these traditions where people use that tradition to rise above things and spiritually bypass stuff, these guys were in the thick of it. Yeah, sure, they went off into the cave or into the mountain or into the desert for a little while, but they always came back into the thick of it. So that's where heroes belong, in the thick of it, on the ground, rooted and deeply connected to their communities. And in those communities, there will be people that will hurt you, because that's just how it works in the world. And you need to know that there will be people like that, and it isn't about you, as long as you know that it isn't about you. Because oftentimes I hear people say, well, that's not my stuff. And it's like, well, have you really checked that out? Because maybe it is your stuff. Maybe you are being mean. Like, maybe there is some truth to that feedback. Can you hear the truth in that feedback and then drop the rest? So don't get so defensive that you miss the message. Because sometimes that message needs to be heard. And those people are not giving you the reality or the truth and the capital R or a capital T. But they are bringing you something of a perception that, let me think that through a little bit. And, you know, there's lots of people who say lots of things on here on social media about me, and like, why do you look like that? And why is your hair like that? And I mean, nothing to do with the content I'm presenting, but it's a lot about like my hair. And I would like to say that, you know, let me think about that for a second. Like, is my hair always like this? Or, you know, I do think about it. Let me process that. I have ego strength to be able to hear that. I'll check it through. I'll process it. I might journal about it. And then I might come to say, nope, I kind of like my hair like this. I'm good. Like, this is just how I do my hair. And if they don't like it, that's their issue. So I am hearing things and I'm struggling with things. And then I am saying, nope, I've struggled with it. I've identified it and I know where I stand. This is where I stand. So, and that's the process that I went through with, even with coming onto social media. It wasn't just like, oh, one day I'm gonna start a social media account. It was 6 months of deliberations. This is a commitment I'm making to the world. And I need to know how much of myself I will expose, how much of my family I will expose. You know, I have teenagers who I have to ask their permission. Are they okay with this? We often don't ask our kids, are you okay with this? I needed to go through that process with people. I needed to talk to my husband about it. How much of it is he okay with me sharing versus, I mean, he will never be on here, FYI, he does exist. but you know, can I say that I have a husband? But that's about basically it. You know, that's all I can say. But it's about struggling with something and then coming to a truth, rather than I know what I am, I know who I am, and you can't tell me who I am. And it's like, when was the last time you thought about who you were? Maybe like a few years ago. You have to constantly do this work, guys. That's how confidence is built. So when someone comes and says to me, I don't like your philosophy about spirituality or whatever, okay, there is nothing that moves in me. There is nothing that even touches me, because I have lived in the thick of that, and I have really processed and integrated that, where I know what my personal spirituality and my personal philosophy is. And I come from that space and I speak from that place. But if I hadn't struggled with that, then I would be like, oh, wow, what? You know, that's when the voices are really big. And there was a question where people said, how do I stop overthinking? Maybe do the thinking. And then you will stop overthinking. What are you thinking about? Whatever you resist will persist. And so often we are trying to stop our thinking, when maybe you should just think. And what are you thinking about? And then also hold the other side, which is the breathing and being in the moment. So we can't live too much in our head, but we can't live not in our head also. It's holding that tension of thinking and being, thinking and feeling and being, right? We're constantly holding that tension. I cannot be without thinking, and I cannot be without feeling, and I cannot be without being, and I cannot be without doing. Thinking, feeling, being, doing, constantly moving from that space. You cannot just be. You gotta go do something. You came onto this planet, into this body, to do something. You can't just be all the time. But you cannot just do and not be either. So again, holding that tension is going to be very, very important. Most people just drop one side and run to the other. And I think every one of the Instagram videos that I have done recently, I have really talked about tension. Guys, we are absolutely becoming polarized, one-sided, losing our nuances, becoming hyper-judgmental, because we cannot hold tensions inside of us. And to hold tension, imagine you're holding something. That requires strength and a mental and spiritual and a psychological muscle, which most people would rather not have. They rather not have the struggle. You know, in the Islamic tradition, they talk about the struggle of the ego, okay? An ego in the spiritual sense, not in the psychological sense. And the struggle, what is the struggle? If I am happy and all good all the time, there's no struggle. If I want to leave my job because I'm so stressed out and I leave, there's no struggle. I'm stressed and I love my job. Now we have a struggle. I love my company, I don't love my boss. Now we have a struggle. I love my friend and she really hurts me sometimes. Now we have a struggle. This Pollyanna-ish, the world is a beautiful place and nobody does anything wrong and everybody is good, and that is not a struggle. That is not how you grow a muscle inside of you. It is not how you expand. When you become one-sided, it's super easy, guys. Trust me, I can create a world in this beautiful place where nobody hurts me and nobody touches me and nobody says anything bad about me, and I can live in this happy little world of mine. And there will be no struggle. But the road to heaven, inner heaven, is not without struggle. And that's the other side of things. And what Carl Jung talked about was holding the tension of the opposites. Can you hold that tension? Can you have grief inside of you and hold the gratitude? Can you have pain inside of you and hold the love? Can you want to leave and still stay? As long as it's healthy for you, right? So this is where, and Carl Jung said that when you hold that tension, the third will arise. It is only when you hold that tension does the third arise. The third cannot arise from one-sidedness. It will never arise. And you will never ascend, and you will never expand. You will shrink, literally. That's why I don't like to be called a shrink, by the way. Don't call me no shrink. I am not a shrink. I am the expander, okay? So I will make things real and big, and you know, and that will be the reality of life, and you will be strong enough to face it. So there's no shrinking going on in this office. So how can we hold that? That would be the spiritual maturity of things, where you see the bad in the world and you live open-heartedly. That's on another level of courage. And that's what they call walking the middle path. It's not literally the middle path. It's not like the road. The middle path is holding that tension and choosing to balance that. In balancing that tension, the third will arise. Okay? So that's that. I don't know how I got from scarcity to that. Oh yeah, I was talking about healing. Healing. Guys, dart tension. Got it? I also wanted to share with you guys something that came across for me while I'm, you know, in my therapy journey and all of these other things that I've been up to. That, you know, acceptance of something as it is, I thought I was accepting things as it was, but inside of me there was still hope. Where there is hope, there is no acceptance. Oh, let me explain. Hope can actually be so dangerous. And now I don't want you all to be hopeless. That's not what I'm saying. Hope to me is optimism, okay? Being in this now with a sense of goodness about the world still. But hope, if I break up with someone and I have hope that they will come back to me, I am not getting closure there. And I am not accepting the reality that things are over. When I am seeing death and destruction in the world and I have hope that it will stop, then I am not activated enough to do something about whatever it is that I can do. Hope actually diffuses some of that tension. And sometimes we need that tension to be fully charged in order for you to take action. And it doesn't allow us to accept things fully as they are. People will leave your life. They might leave without telling you. They might leave in a really hurtful way. They might leave in an aggressive way. That's it. Not hope that they will change or they will come back. No, that's it. This is what I'm telling you. Like, I actually came to this realization in the last 3 weeks that, wait a minute, I live a lot in hope. And I live a lot in this reality that the world will be better. And it's like, OK, okay, it will be better at some point, maybe somewhere in the distant future, but it is not okay right now. And there are people in this world that are mean, and I must accept that. And then I had to accept that. And I was like, oh my God, that's really painful. And then I had to think about my resistance against accepting that. Because if I accept that there are mean people in this world, people that are really just looking to throw a dart in your direction any chance they get, then I feel scared. And then I had to work through that fear. What will happen to you, Sal, if they throw a dart in your direction? No one can take something away from you. Unless it is the will of God, right? Or it is the will of the source. No one can do anything to you except throw a dart. That's all they can do. Okay, you're strong enough to take the dart out. They're not gonna rocket launch something in my direction. They're just throwing a dart. And so I really had to work through that fear. But accepting something means I am giving up hope on some degree. Now, it sounds a little bit weird. I haven't thought this through, guys, and I'm going on live on record saying this. But accepting something means I accept it fully as this is the reality. And when you accept something fully as this is the reality, you expand once you've worked through that. This is the reality. This person is never coming back again. And the world will have people in it that are hurtful. And that there will be people that will do things that are harmful. And that that person will never change. They are the way they are. And your parents will never change. That is the way it is. And your childhood will never change. And your memories will never change. It is what it is. We will make meaning. That's how we work with the alchemical process of making meaning. But we still have to accept that that was a really sad thing that happened. And that was really a painful thing that happened. And that's it. And to accept that. I felt like so much of my energy was being given to hope. Like a child. You know, I have a very fascinating imagination, and so I have all kinds of stories that I can build up in my head about miracles will happen, and you know, and I still do believe in miracles, and I still do believe in magic. So again, that's holding the tension of believing in magic and also accepting the reality of things. Being optimistic, but being realistic. Realistic optimism. Like, that is what I'm talking about. So I'm not saying give up all hope, but I'm saying there are times in your life where you are giving energy to hope when you actually need to be accepting the reality of the situation. And that reality, when you work, sit in it, and that's it. That when someone says, how do you accept it? That's it. You accept it. It has happened. You cannot change the past. No matter how much meaning I make of it, that was a painful thing that happened. And that people are mean. And that's it. So, that's it. That's how you accept it. And then you work through the grief. Because losing hope also involves grief. We must grieve the loss of hope. We must grieve the loss of a reality that we once wished to be. And that's the process of grieving. And guys, grief, when transformed and when worked through, it makes you more human. And it makes you more compassionate, and it makes you more loving when you work with it and work through it and, you know, integrate it and live with it and accept it. That's the work most people are running away from. We hold on to hope because we are too afraid of the grief. We hold on to hope because we are too afraid of the shame. And that is not the same thing as doing the work or accepting and things of that sort. So, someone said acceptance can also help with letting go. Acceptance will help you drop the rope. There's like a energetic cord that stays in this place. And when I speak of energetic cords, I'm talking about when I say, oh, I'm hopeful that he'll come back, or I'm hopeful that, you know, she will realize that she hurt me and she'll say sorry. Right? These are some of the things that most people are hopeful about. And when I'm hopeful, there's an energetic cord that goes out. Just like when you hold a grudge, there's an energetic cord that's going out, and part of my energy is being drained in this direction. Hope can even be draining of that energy, that of creation in the now. When I accept that this is how it is for now, that's it. And I accept it. I take that energetic cord and I pack it right back in. And now I have energy to create in the now. Another reality of mine. I can use that energy to heal. I can use that energy to create. I can use that energy to give. Hope can actually be fragmenting of your energy body, depending on what you are hopeful for. Now, in the grand scheme of things, I have a lot of hope for the world. I hope for a world where people will be better to each other. And I will hold that hope, but it's not like I'm giving energy to that. I'm talking about these personal things that we hold on hope to. And that's where we drain so much of our creative force, our life force. And in order to create any new reality or any new future for myself or any new project for myself or anything, I must consolidate my energy. If we talk about like Dr. Who is it? Yeah. You know, he focuses his energy. That's what magic is. People can focus, and that's what they did in Star Wars, right? It was a focused energy to be able to manipulate forces in nature. So it's that focus that most of us don't have, because either energetically, there is stuff tied down in grudges, there's stuff tied down in anger and resentment and revenge. Another part of us split off into hope that maybe they will fix and they will change and they will not be this way, or maybe I got it wrong and I just need to go to therapy enough to make more sense of it, because it doesn't make sense. Why would someone that I love, that I gave all this love to, do that to me? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes people are just mean, and that's it. Drop the rope and move on. Once you've done enough processing and making meaning, at some point you take it in and say, that's the way it is. And that's where equanimity comes in. And that's when you're consolidating your energetic powers. And then when you create, you make magic. That's how magic is made. And so meditation is a big part of getting that magic focused, you know, focused energy. And the thing, this was a vision I had recently, guys, that the thing that is getting in the way now for me, after all the work that I've done, is my phone. I got the message, and it was like a vision that I had, which the phone and all of the parts of me were actually being pixelated. Everything I take in is creating noise in that head. That noise doesn't allow me to focus. When I don't have that focus, I cannot create magic. I cannot create wisdom. I cannot engage in the alchemical process of transformation without that concentrated energy. And so that's what we need to be doing as part of our healing journey, and as part of our wanting to consolidate in our power. That's what I mean. When you stand in your full power, what is that? Right? Standing in your full power means you do not give any power to the past. You do not give any power to the future. You do not give any power to the virtual space. All of it is here, centered inside of you, in the now, the deep now, the focused now. Call it whichever now, here. Nobody is in this space. And I'm telling you, man, I'm like going to the brain gym every single day to try to cultivate that. Empty spaces in my day, I am making more of that. When I hang up on this live with you, I will sit in a state of emptiness until my next call, which is 15 minutes from now. And that's what we need to do more of. And then when we come to whatever we come to, we will do it with so much focused energy that what would have taken us 2 hours will actually take us 30 minutes, because we are not fragmented or distracted. So that also is part of the healing journey, is consolidating your life force and consolidating your attention. And through attention, we make magic and creation. Okay? Let's see, I'm gonna take the questions. How do you heal trauma? Guys, all of it is trauma. There's not a single person who has gone through childhood without some, you know, experience of trauma. So some people more, some people do have adverse life events that are big events that have happened to them in their childhood. So those would be the capital T trauma, but the little T trauma, all of us have experienced, and that has created these filters that we live with, where we view the world and we see attacks as personal. We have distorted thinking, black and white thinking. We have shame. All of that is part of going through the little T traumas in childhood, because you are small and the world is big, and that's just traumatic. And trauma is anything that this is your resources and this is what is required to process the experience. That's it. And so even in my adult life, I can experience, as I am today, having done all the work that I've done, I can be depleted of my resources. So let's say my resources are here on most days, but I've gone through something very difficult, which has eroded my internal resources, and then someone does something hurtful. Now this is the amount of resources needed. This is what I have. This space is full of trauma. And it's gonna hit me a lot more deeply. I don't have the inner resources. So when we talk about trauma, we think that it's like this big thing that happened to us. No, it's anything that can happen. It can be moving to a new country. It can be, you know, and it was a good move. Dad got a better job, or mom got a better job, and we're making more money, and look, we got a bigger house. It can be experienced as traumatic if the child did not understand it, or if their interpretation of that was harmful or not positive, and parents were just like, oh, okay, come on, let's go. Like, they didn't process that. So it can be really anything. And the way you do any healing is the way you do any healing. That was that was actually quite deep. But the way you do anything is the way you do everything, and the way you do everything is the way you do anything. One thing at a, like one tiny bit at a time. Start with the body, make this home safe. Do a lot of breathing, do a lot of body work, stretching, these deep tissue massages, cupping, this kind of like opening up the chi in your body, giving your body a safe place, making sure that your breath is deep and moving in and out. The body says, I'm good, I'm safe. So start with the body. If this feels a little bit too much, make the body safe. What you eat, how you breathe, how you sleep, who you speak to, connect to, how you spend your days, what you read, all of this has to do with your healing, guys. Just like if you think about someone who is practicing religion, it's not that they pray and that's it. It's how you live your life. So it is really a whole process of how you do every day. Every day is my spirituality. Every day is my religion, where it shows up in everything I do. And healing shows up in everything I do. Every single thing can be used as a mirror to what I need to be working on. And every single moment can be said that I now use this breath to heal whatever else is going on inside of me. So it is not just like, oh, I need to start with therapy 1 hour a week and then, no. There's no bigger fan of therapy than me, but I'm telling you guys that too much power is given to the therapy room. That is just one part. But I will also say that if you are visiting energy healers or Reiki or any of this stuff, make sure that they're trauma informed. Because sometimes it can be very triggering to do the breath work and to do the Reiki and the energy, and then all of a sudden you're spinning out of control and you don't have a therapist you're processing with. That is dangerous. And if any energy healers are out there, I'm fan number one of energy healings, but please become trauma informed. Do not unpack and open something up for people that they do not have the ego strength to be able to process. And they don't have a therapist aligned. And that's why I have a lot of my clients I will send to energy healers, because I know that they're gonna bring it back to me. And they know that if something becomes undone, that they have somewhere to go. So this is very, very important as you do body work. And so it's very important for me. I've always needed that kind of intellectual digestion of things, which is what therapy is. If you do traditional therapy, I'm not talking about somatic experience and things like that, but if you do traditional therapy, it can be very, it's a lot of talking. So it's breath and talking and digesting and organizing and making sense of, a very big component of my healing journey. But oh my God, the things I do in the 168 hours that are all part of that healing, and that all part of that accepting and surrendering and trusting, all of that is this. So if you just tell me one thing to do, I will not. I will not tell you one thing to do, because it's never just one thing. That's like, tell me how to be religious by just doing one thing. You can't. Tell me how to be generous by doing one thing. Tell me how to be loving by doing just one thing. It's like, you cannot. It's a way of being. And think about healing as a homecoming, as a journey in closer to your home and being in your body and being, you know, having a full experience of what it means to be human. It's not like a box ticking exercise, heal trauma, done, wound, done. It doesn't work like that. It's just that I want to be fully human, and I want to be fully alive, and I want to be fully experiencing the moments of my life. So this human experience that I'm having right now, that I live it to its full potential, and I be it to its full potential, and I do it to its full potential, and I think it to its full potential, and I am it to its full potential. That's why I'm doing this work. And that becomes a whole process of how you do every hour of every day. Thanks, guys. I'm now going to log off. Please send me your questions, and I will answer. I didn't get through all of this, guys. I have a lot, but I will answer more of that next week as well. And we will do a few more lives until I log off in July, and then I will be off for a while. But yeah, let me know what questions you have. I would be very happy to answer. Bye, guys.